Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, it's nice to know that many major companies these days are taking accessibility very seriously, and they really want to make their products and services accessible to everybody around the world. This week, we'll be talking about how IBM is sharing their expertise with the wider community to improve accessibility for all.
We'll speak with Eric Manser and Drew Lahart of IBM's accessibility team about their quick guide for developers, their plan for making many of their tools and resources open source, and their overall commitment to accessibility, both internally and externally. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Eric Manser.
You know, one of the most exciting things for me when I got to IBM was seeing the conversation evolve. You know, accessibility as, you know, a focus within the industry, I think, originated almost as a philanthropic pursuit, but it's come so far from that point where now it is really just being, you know, I guess, considered as an imperative. And, you know, at some point in everybody's life, I mean, everyone will experience some level of impairment, some level of disability. And so accessible design is for everybody. It's not just for people with disabilities. It's for everyone because, you know, at some point, everyone will have some experience that they need to have a technology solution be accessible. So, you know, just the broadening of the conversation and the realization that big companies are taking it very seriously and realizing the impact to the bottom line. Accessible design is just good design. And, you know, that has really been an evolution of sorts, and it's been exciting to watch.
And we'll see how IBM has not only incorporated these concepts into their corporate-wide mission and strategy and work processes, but how they're sharing their expertise with other people around the community and making these tools more widely available.
And as Eric indicated, it's not just IBM that's taking accessibility seriously. Many, many major corporations are. And we've spoken with others just this year about what kind of advances they're making in accessibility because they're taking it seriously.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Guide Dog Foundation, training and placing guide dogs for over 70 years, providing independence, enhanced mobility, and companionship to people who are visually impaired or have other special needs at no personal cost. To learn more about their programs or to apply for a guide dog, visit www.guidedog.org. Let's start by meeting Eric Manser and Drew Lahart.
Can you both introduce yourselves to our listeners? Eric, maybe we can start with you.
My name is Eric Manser. I am an accessibility tester and consultant with IBM.
And how about you, Drew?
And this is Drew Lahart. I am the IBM Accessibility Program Director, and I'm responsible for the accessibility enablement, education, standards, and technology that comes from IBM research.
Eric, you've been on Eyes on Success before in episode 1617, talking about running the Boston Marathon with Peter Sagal as your celebrity guide. Can you talk about some of your athletic endeavors?
Oh, absolutely. When I'm not at work, I try and stay very active, competing in marathon running and also in triathlons. I do so with the assistance of a sighted guide, you know, because I am visually impaired, legally blind. You know, it's very helpful when I'm able, in a competitive situation, you know, usually racing with crowds of other people for my own safety and for their safety. It's often a good idea if I am able to race with the assistance of someone who can see more than I can. And in a triathlon, that usually means that you're attached for the swim. You know, you have a bungee tether that you wear around your waist that you're attached to the other person. And then, you know, the bicycle is on a tandem two-person bike. And then for the run portion of the triathlon, again, you know, the same sort of a tether is used, where you're each holding an end of it. And, you know, it's just a different way of doing the same thing. And, you know, I'm very, very thankful to my sighted guides that I race with who, you know, literally enable me to be able to do it. So it's a great experience. And I liken, you know, my experience on the race course to the kind of leveling the playing field that is achieved through accessibility. And so it's a great source of pride to work for, you know, one of the leading technology companies in the world at IBM, working as part of a team to help ensure and create accessible products and designs. So I see a lot of parallels between my competitive, you know, athletic life and my professional career life.
Drew, are you also visually impaired?
I am not.
And how did you get into the accessibility field?
So I came to IBM through an acquisition from PwC Consulting, which was formerly PricewaterhouseCoopers, in 2002. And during that time, when I was with PwC Consulting, my primary role was as a developer for government contracts, and I was building web applications. And we became one of the government's first fully accessible web applications. It took a liking to the work. I felt a real passion for the accessibility work that was going on. And I found a job within IBM Research in the IBM accessibility team. And I've been there since 2004. And it's been a fantastic place to work. It's been a very rewarding career.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the advances IBM is making in the field of accessibility.
I was wondering if you could enlighten our listeners a bit and tell them what the mission is of the accessibility team at IBM and what they do.
Certainly. IBM accessibility team has a mission to enable human capability through innovation. And basically what that means is we sit in IBM Research. Our primary mission is to make sure that we are creating techniques, we are creating tools, we are creating products that help people to recognize their full potential. We also have an arm within IBM Research that is responsible for internal accessibility. And what I mean by that is one of the primary roles of my department in particular is working with the IBM product teams to make sure that their products can be used by all people.
I've heard a little bit about IBM's Quick Guide. Can you tell our listeners about that?
We are now starting to give away some of our proprietary accessibility information, moving IBM accessibility in the direction of open source. The first thing that you'll see coming out of IBM accessibility in the open source space is something called our Accessibility Quick Guide. And what we're working on, or what we've published, is a guide that will allow designers, developers, and testers to consume accessibility information in the way that they want to consume that information. What I mean by that is if we take a look at the WCAG 2.0 standard, it's very detailed. It can be a little tricky to understand, tricky to follow, especially if you're not familiar with accessibility.
That's a lot to plow through for many people.
Exactly. And that's one of the overarching themes that we've gotten from the IBMers we've interviewed is, you know, what can we do to make accessibility easier and faster? And the overarching theme is, well, just make it easier to understand. You know, instead of giving me 50 things to do, what are the top five that I can start with? And then I'll just move to the next four and then the next three or the next two or whatever it may be. So with this quick guide, what we've attempted to do is taken the information that comes out of the standard and rolled it up, if you will, into a bit of a higher level, more consumable, easier to read format that makes more sense to someone that doesn't necessarily understand accessibility soup to nuts quite yet. And the reason we've put this out on open source is we want feedback from the community. The benefit of open source, especially with something like accessibility, is we can tap into the wisdom of the whole ecosystem of accessibility professionals. We've put this out there because we want individuals to fork the code. We want other industry leaders in accessibility to pull down a version, clean it up, maybe make some changes, maybe add some new techniques and send it back up to open source.
Well, what I think is interesting about those initiatives, you know, I'm not shy of telling software developers, hey, this program isn't accessible and maybe this website isn't accessible, et cetera. But, you know, you realize that things are so specialized these days. Everybody understands their own particular technology or what they're trying to do. But, you know, they may not be so familiar with accessibility. They don't know what to do to make their programs or websites accessible. And so if this was in an easily graspable form, that would make their job a lot more easy.
You're exactly right. The other benefit of this type of format, you know, that makes things easier to grasp, easier to understand, is it provides a framework for us to add automated tooling into the process. So, for example, if I'm a developer and I go to this quick guide and I look at the testing guidance, one of the first things it has me do is run automated tools. And one of the other things that's available now externally from IBM is our automated accessibility tester and our digital content checker, two tools that sit out on IBM's cloud, our Bluemix services, that developers, designers, testers, you know, anyone involved in the development process can use and then export those results for their development methodology.
You've mentioned several automated tools. How do they work and what do they do?
So the way the automated accessibility tester works is it has a series of rules that will run. Let's take the most basic example, like headings and a table headings. Basically, it will identify where there is a problem, where there are potential problems, but it will also point out to the various parts of the accessibility standards that show you how to solve the problem. So in addition to pointing out the problem, it might say, you know, this is a violation of the WCAG 2.0 guideline on table headers and provide a link out to table headers. So it is just the first step, but the reliance on automated tools is something that our internal teams and actually all those that I've spoken to in the community want more and more of. Let's automate what we can. Let's make the content as easy as possible to consume. And then we can find ways to reduce some of the manual testing, although we'll never get away from the need to actually validate that our compliant applications are actually usable. And really, the only way to really verify that is going to be with manual testing. But we hope to automate what we can.
Well, and it's a great way to leverage the tools that you've developed in-house yourself so they can be more widely applicable for others to use. Because let's face it, you know, accessibility is often kind of a small part of any large corporation. And if people can collaborate in a community sense with these tools and guidelines, that works for everybody's advantage.
Absolutely. I was just going to add that it really supports making it part of the culture.
So I gather in addition to developing tools that make it easier for not just IBM, but everybody else to follow the accessibility standards, that IBM is also heavily involved in developing and maintaining the standards for accessibility.
That's true. So we have a very competent, very fantastic, very insert adjective here, person that works with both Eric and I named Mary Jo Mueller, who's our accessibility standards program manager. And her role within the team is to make sure that as new standards come out, that IBM is participating in the development of those standards, helping to write the techniques and the rationales behind those standards, and then also communicating what the impact of those standards might be to IBM as well as some of our partner companies. And we've got 7 or 8 of the team that Eric and I are part of are actively involved in these accessibility standards. And I think it's one of the ways that IBM really maintains its leadership in the accessibility space. And although some of that work is done behind the scenes, you know, the public may not always know how much effort goes into writing, you know, a new technique for a standard, it is a very significant effort in both time and resources. And there's also a financial support as well for some of the standards to make sure that they have the support that's needed to keep the standards bodies moving forward. And that is something that IBM invests very, very heavily in and has for many years.
So it sounds like, as well as interacting with the wider community outside IBM, that these concepts are thoroughly ingrained and spread throughout IBM itself. Can you talk a little bit, Eric, about how that impacts you as a visually impaired employee?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel every day like I have a front row seat. it's a thrilling place to be. You know, I myself am happy to be an active member of, you know, one of the standards defining groups. It's specific to low vision. You know, as someone who's been gradually losing my sight over many years, you know, the ability to participate in defining what standards are being used, I mean, it's given me a firsthand appreciation for how exhaustive and detailed the analysis of these standards is. So to, you know, have a firsthand view now of the level of detail and the level of attention that's paid, you know, it's just been extremely rewarding, you know, and I feel like I keep saying thrilling, but it's thrilling to feel like you're contributing in a meaningful way on a daily basis to the future of accessible technology in that way.
So I guess you found developers within IBM are pretty receptive. If you, for example, point out that, hey, there's a problem with this website, I can't deal with it, or this program.
Absolutely. You know, in the past, with regard to pointing out something that, you know, might not be accessible, I've had experiences, you know, not really since I've been at IBM, but like where, you know, it's hard to hear or it's not well received. And it's, you know, kind of seen as almost like a nuisance, you know, and that's just not the case here. I mean, when I have my laptop, for an example, with me, and you know, I'm using screen magnification and inverted colors and things like that, and I am sitting in a room full of developers that now see what their content or their work looks like as experienced by me on a daily basis. I mean, you know, receptive isn't even the word. It's, I mean, they're enthusiastically engaged in this, and they say, oh, wow, I, you know, if you pull that drop down menu and there's nothing that appears, you know, because of your inverted colors, then they know immediately how they need to go back now and address that and make it, you know, kind of behind the scenes, fix it so that it displays properly. And so that is really tangible ways that I can see my input and my work having an effect each day.
I'll just add in there that IBM has a corporate instruction that requires all IBM products, all of our internal communications, all of our internal applications to be fully accessible to people with disabilities. This has been in place for, I want to say, over 20 years. And while we don't like to use the stick, you know, there is always a balance between, you know, the carrot and the stick of, hey, this is nice to do. We have users that need to do this, that need you to make this accessible versus, you know what, just do it because you have to and I need you to get it done.
But it does make a big difference if that is on the checklist at the corporate level, as opposed to just one group inside saying, hey, you have to do this.
You're exactly right. And that's one of the reasons why I think IBM has been so successful internally with our products and our workplace, is because it is a mandated from our senior executives requirement for all products to be accessible.
So I guess that makes a big difference. If these concepts about accessibility are on a checklist at the corporate level, then you don't have to fight such big battles as an accessibility team, and people just are willing to do what's right for these programs and websites.
It absolutely helps having a tops-down commitment to accessibility. Now, the benefit of having the IBM accessibility team is while the mindset might be there that someone has to do this, that the IBMers understand why they have to build something in an accessible way, the processes and the methodologies that are using to develop software are constantly evolving. So as we move, for example, in IBM's case, to a cloud-based company where most of our new products are going to be available on the cloud, we get into much more complex accessibility processes that involve the agile development process, that involve a DevOps process. and a much higher reliance on regular automated testing that needs to be built in instead of a final test at the end. And that's where some of the innovation comes out of the IBM accessibility team, is we work with the IBM product teams to say, well, you know, we have the stick that says you got to do it, but we're also offering this carrot that's going to make it very easy for you to do it. And that typically comes in the form of automated tools. And as we talked about earlier, some of our consumable content. Real quick, the other thing I wanted to talk on, mention specifically, Eric, you had talked about your experience as an IBMer. We found that in training IBMers, that there is no substitute for putting a person that is experiencing the difficulties of inaccessibility in front of a room and saying, here's a real person that's having this difficulty. It's always extremely effective to make it real for IBMers. And one of the ways that we, another way that we do this to make it fun is we have workshops where we have, one example is low vision goggles. We have about 15 low vision goggles. And we'll get in a room and we'll say to the folks that are attending the workshop, okay, you have 5 minutes to create a PowerPoint presentation that's going to be delivered to the CEO of your company. And you need to wear these goggles while you do it. And, you know, the message can be whatever you want, but you have to create this PowerPoint presentation, putting these goggles on. And then everybody puts their goggles on. And it becomes a real hoot when you see, you know, the various types of disabilities that people have just suddenly acquired and that they now have to live with while they're making this presentation. And it really makes things real, right? It makes people understand the value of a high contrast operating system, of why colors are important, why they need to be able to navigate with a keyboard. But it's also fun. You know, I'll admit sometimes you chuckle when you see some of the things that people are creating and you have no idea what they've actually created. And it really does make it fun. It provides some levity to the situation, but it also makes it very real.
I think you mentioned two keys there. I mean, one is, I don't think any developer is anti-accessibility. It's a question of being informed and knowing what the issue is. And once you put it in front of them like that, it's very clear. And the other one is to make it easy for these people to fix accessibility problems or to incorporate accessibility into their designs. Because, you know, the more hurdles you put in front of people and the harder their job is, it's just not going to get done.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, I mean, the ability, like having the open discussion, the ability to, you know, to speak openly about it and make people comfortable talking about it and asking questions. I mean, when I'm speaking with a room full of developers that are asking about my disability, I'm always like, you know, no question is a dumb question. I mean, you know, it's all valid. And, you know, when they're engaged and talking about it, I mean, that's where you get to the real solutions. And these are important conversations to have. It's great to have an open dialogue about it.
The general consumer maybe isn't so aware of IBM products that are directly geared to them. But one IBM product that's gotten a lot of press in recent years is Watson. And I understand that you've actually got Watson working on something that would benefit people with low vision or blindness.
Yeah, it's really exciting and kind of a fun project to talk about. I was thrilled earlier this summer to be able to showcase the work that IBM Watson is doing alongside Guiding Eyes for the Blind, which is a very prominent guide dog school. And Watson technology is actually being put to use in helping kind of identify early on at the puppy stages dogs that will make, you know, strong candidates to be dog guides as adults. So, you know, it's an exciting project to be a part of and, you know, certainly something exciting to share at the National Federation for the Blind convention in Orlando this summer.
Maybe Watson can train these dogs to be good at Jeopardy also.
Now for this week's final item, how you can get more information about IBM's work in enhancing accessibility and accessibility tools.
So if people want to find out more about IBM's thrust in accessibility, your quick guides, etc., where would you send them?
So I'd send them to a couple different places. The first thing that I would ask people to do or suggest people do is to follow the IBM Accessibility Twitter feed. Updated a couple times a day in most cases, really highlights a lot of the work that's coming out, not just from the IBM research community, but from other places within IBM, other product innovations. There are lots of advances coming out with natural language processing that Watson is taking advantage of. And I think over time, we're going to start to see more and more accessibility-related services and products coming out of the Watson family.
And what is your Twitter handle?
It's at IBM Access.
Great. So in addition to our Twitter feed, I think the other place where you could get some really good information about what IBM is doing in the field is on our IBM.com/able website. And this is our homepage for the IBM Research Accessibility Community. Finally, the last place that I would suggest that people look to find out what's happening is on our open source GitHub library, which is at github.com/IBMA. So it's capital I, capital B, capital M, and then a lowercase a. And the A, of course, stands for accessibility. But that's where you'll find many of the open source projects that I've referenced earlier on the call.
I would also suggest our age and ability blog, which is, you know, simply ageandability.com. And there's often, you know, a lot of very informative written pieces and, you know, some more background information on IBM accessibility and various solutions and events and things like that. So that's also a good resource to have.
If somebody has a question or a comment for the IBM accessibility team, do you have an email address or a phone number that they could use?
I do. In fact, actually, I would encourage any of your listeners that have specific questions to just reach out to me directly. And my email address is andrew@us.ibm.com. And if I can't answer your question right away, I'll certainly be able to find the right person that can.
And as usual, all that contact information can be found in the show notes for this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1629. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be speaking with Dr. Joe Fontenot, who was a practicing cardiologist when his vision began to fail. Now he's the medical director of Community Services for Vision Rehabilitation in Mobile, Alabama, which he founded. We'll talk with him about his remarkable journey and how he not only overcame personal challenges, but also went on to use much of his own personal experience to help others with failing vision. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.